D1.
Number 5A.
We were considering yesterday together the development of the spiritual idea and could see that the Bible brings us up to the 5,000-year period, that is, to the full realization of the fifth day of creation, namely the fifth day of life, of the moving creatures that have life, where the time sense goes out, therefore where the whole Old Testament, the first 4 days of creation, were lifted out of a time sense, out of a sense of history, into a sense of ever-present facts. And Jesus proved in one go those present facts and so fulfilled the Old Testament. But the Bible itself, if we want to keep it holy and see it as an enormous revelation of the spiritual idea, speaks of a sixth day of creation and then of a seventh day, indicating that the spiritual idea will go on and on and on. The infinite never stops. There is never a final point, a final climax in spiritual revelation. There are always climaxes, and then there is usually historically seen a time in order to imbibe that climax, to make it real and conscious, and then the light breaks through again to another climax. So let's be aware that we keep the Bible story holy by going past the Bible, or not in the way, don't misinterpret me, not by discarding the Bible, but by fulfilling the Bible in seeing that the text of the Bible is not complete, that it needs a further statement, and we see that Jesus prophesied the coming of a new comforter, and that comforter is the 6,000-year period with Christian Science and the discovery of Christian Science. So that Christian Science in its pith should give us a way how to realize the sixth day of creation. The sixth day of creation starts with God saying, let there be cattle and moving creatures. The sense of God's divine thoughts. Let's see that all there is about man starts with mind conceiving its own ideas. And that's what Mrs. Eddy writes at the beginning of the exegesis of the sixth day of creation. That spirit diversifies, classifies and individualizes all thoughts, but that these thoughts are conceived by mind, capital M, not by small m, not by the human mind, and therefore they exist in the divine mind. That is the reason why I think when the realization of the sixth day of creation became tangible to spiritual consciousness, that it was at that point that John Dolly began to see that the whole Bible, with all the various characters in the Bible, were not historical characters, but were those qualities of thought conceived by mind, capital M, and known to mind, and that there are God thoughts and spiritual realities which continue forever as those side notes run, showing us that Noah is me, that the quality of thought of Noah, the quality of thought of Abraham, of Jacob, and so on, that are qualities of mind, capital M, and therefore continue forever. Therefore, they are now. Noah is not way back in history. He is here and now. Abraham is no way back in history. It's here and now. And so he could begin to see that as the concept of manhood grows, we could see Noah is me, or I am Noah. Abraham is me. I'm Abraham. And that is true because these thoughts are continual, eternal. They have no time concept within themselves. But then the sixth day of creation goes on to the next point, the Christ is the Christ, and shows, but God said, let us make our image and our likeness, and let that call man, and let that call male and female. I did a little bit of twist now in this wording because I wanted to bring out perhaps clearer that really what John Dolly used to say to us over and over, that man is only a term which we attribute to what? To God's consciousness of himself. So really God's consciousness of himself, God looking at himself and seeing his wholeness, his likeness, his image, his perfection, to that action, to that state of being, we can attribute the symbol called man. But I think as we go on, we do better to drop that symbol and leave it on the more definite and abstract symbol of principle, knowing himself, and that's all that there is going on in the highest sense of creation. If we can see that, then we free ourselves of falling or being tempted to fall back in consciousness constantly to the wrong sense of man as a person, as a mortal, as a body. If we really can accept the challenge of today, the issue of today, and see what Mrs. Eddy in her highest realm of the textbook says, namely that there is nothing going on but the infinite principle and its infinite idea, then we have discarded the term God and man. And I'm sure, you take me by the word, if you try in those wonderful winter nights that are coming, we can use them much better than looking at television for hours. If we look out from principle into principle, and never try to ask ourselves, where does man come in? He shouldn't come in. That's the religious sense within us that says, but where do I come in? We shouldn't come in. Where does people come in? They shouldn't come in. Does this apply also to my husband? He shouldn't come in. Or have you ever read a textbook on physics or chemistry or mathematics where husbands and wives come in and sons and daughters come in? I have never. I would throw it away. A textbook on science teaches the principle of the subject and how that principle interprets itself in terms of that principle, in terms of ideas. And that's that. And if somebody who reads that book likes it and imbibes it, that's all right. But The mortal doesn't enter there. So why not in the highest science, the science of being, why not take the same attitude? This is the salvation. You can take it and think it over, and you will agree with me. And you will agree with Mrs. Eddy. You will agree with the Bible. Naturally, we have seen that this is the art, the genius of Mrs. Eddy's writings, that she had to write to mortals. She had to write a book and pick up the mortal where he is, with all his problems, with his sicknesses, with his sins, with his troubles, lack and disharmony, and talk to him. But what she wanted to do is to take the mortal where he is and step by step lift him out of himself, out of the mortal. So shall we go on another 100 years and not to get out of the mortal? Or are we accepting the issue of the end of the 6,000-year period and accept the statement that the only thing that's going on and that is real is God and his ideas, principle and its ideas? So in this 6,000-year period, we begin to realize now that that which is termed man, and that term is only a name, is really a symbol, and a mortal symbol, a human symbol for something divine, namely God, Elohim, life, truth and love, being conscious of itself as infinite ideas of life, truth and love. That's what in earlier times we called man. Having seen that, the sixth day of creation goes on and shows that this has a Christianity sense, namely the sense of infinite multiplication. It replenishes the earth. It replenishes the realm of consciousness. Why? Because each day of those many winter nights, we will think about them in a new way, in a completely new way. It will replenish the consciousness of our consciousness always in a new way, because there is no limit to that consciousness which starts out from principle, which is life, truth and love, and is reflecting on itself. Life reflecting on itself only as life. Life cannot reflect itself on anything but its own nature as life. Truth reflecting on itself as truth, as love reflecting on itself as love. And I say, perhaps this has not been quite clear what I said, that life cannot reflect on anything but life. Naturally, it can reflect on everything which is capitalized. Naturally, on mind and spirit and soul and principle and life and truth and love. But it cannot reflect on anything which is foreign to its nature. Cannot reflect on mortals, cannot reflect on a material universe, can only reflect on itself, on its own nature. Have I made myself now clear on this point? That naturally each synonymous term, because it is standing for the infinite one, can reflect on each synonymous term. And that's really what is showing here. That all the varied manifestations are all reflections of life, truth and love. And so we begin to realize the last point, the fourth point of the diagonal in that sixth day, science as science, where we just see that that which life, truth and love reflects on itself as infinite ideas of life, truth and love are Christ embosomed and circled within the one being. Life, truth, and love never reflect on itself as something out of its own embrace. Therefore, that tremendous statement, which is literally taken paradoxical, where Mrs. Eddy says that the spiritual creation was the outgrowth, the emanation of his infinite self-containment and immortal wisdom. You see, it is a creation, it is a reflection. Every day we ponder about these things, it's a creation, it's a creative sense. It's thinking creatively, genuinely, newly about the meaning of what does life capitalize, truth capitalize, love capitalize, know about itself. But that which it knows about itself is an emanation within its infinite self-containment. These are terms, these are words as I say them, and as I say them I feel they are words, because the language of spirit which lies behind it can hardly be conveyed, because it is so warm, so comforting to see that therefore nothing in all the world is ever happening which is not life, truth, and love itself, because it is within the self-containment of life, truth, and love itself. What a comfort that brings to our consciousness, to our human sense of being, to our mortal sense of being, that there is no place, no circumstances, no happening, no occasion which is outside the infinite self-containment of life capitalized, truth capitalized, love capitalized itself. There is nothing outside of God. Nothing outside of principle. Principle and idea is one. This brings us now to the seventh day of creation. That is, I would say, to that which is approaching mankind, because we are coming close to the end of the 6,000-year period, beginning with the 7,000 period. And you know that the whole world seems to be changing and changing. There was never such a stir in thinking and in fearless thinking and in new thinking, in unorthodox thinking, as today. It seems that especially those who are not in the church, not in religion, that they are the most progressive thinkers for religion, for theology, but a new religion, a new theology, because more and more mankind today frees itself to think in its own way, and afresh and uninhibited by the past. And these are just signs of what is coming, namely the approaching of the 7,000-year period. The seventh day of creation is quite an interesting day, because it isn't a day of creation. We call it a day of creation just by convenience sake, but it isn't the day of creation, because no creative act is in that seventh day. Creation is finished. Therefore, we understand why this day is the first day in those 7 days which does not start with the subtones of mind, but it starts with the subtone of truth. That is, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life is out, because there is no creative activity in that. And up to life, we have a creative activity, because life is the infinite creator, the infinite impulsion ever going on. So it starts right in by taking the final creation of the sixth day of creation and says, that's what the sixth day of creation has shown us. That is the eternal fact. It's factual. It's such an eternal fact that we have to see as fulfilled. And so we get the sense of the motherhood sense, the womanhood sense of it, namely that sense which says, yes, I have seen in the sixth day of creation a new vista, a new standpoint. How I have to change from a way of going up to God through the first 5 days of creation to the point where I look out from God and see that that is consciousness and alone consciousness, where life, truth and love is looking at its own image and likeness. And this new vision, the creative sense, the male sense, that new intelligent sense, this is something that we have to make our own. And so the woman sense must come in with a very big question, with the question, what then have I to do? If all that there is going on is the infinite principle expressing itself as infinite idea, then I don't need to do anything. And that is a very crucial question. It's a question where we either can go forward to science or fall right back down to fatalism. Fatalism says the same thing. Says, you can't do anything to being. Being is just what it is. And it happens just the way as it happens. And science says in terms the same thing. Says, all that there is going on is principle and idea. You can't change that. It works by itself. It's self-operative. It's self-working. And we say the very same thing. And yet they are the two extremes, fatalism and the other, science, which has a telefinalistic sense of completion in harmony. And the seventh day of creation seems to give here the answer so as to steer the whole trend of the spiritual evolution up to this point into the right sense, where this true sense, where this true sense finds its fulfillment in harmony, whereas fatalism doesn't find fulfillment in harmony. What is it? And perhaps I may try to point out in this seventh day, something which one has perhaps not considered so much when one was studying the seventh day. Usually, when one came to the seventh day, what was sticking out was that sense of fulfillment, the sense of rest, God rests in action, that the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them, and had just that sense of fulfillment. That's the seventh day. But it's not all that. There is more to it. There is more to it, namely, as it seems to me, it's that in it which prevents the days of creation to become fatalism. Namely, when one reads the text here, nearly half of the text of Mrs. Eddy, the exegesis of those two verses in the seventh day are concerned not so much with the sense of being finished and all that is done is fulfilled, but with something else, with another question, namely with that question, human capacity, she says, is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation. See, now she takes up a question of the human capacity to take in that vision which we had in the sixth day. That human capacity is slow to discern and to grasp God's creation and the divine power and presence which go with it, demonstrating its spiritual origin. It is as if she would take up the question now, you can't just let the male sense of creation govern the days of creation, namely by saying, all right, I have seen the new vision. I've seen the new vision that mortals can't do anything to being. Being exists by itself. It operates by itself. It operates if we like it or don't like it. It operates if we think about it or don't think about it. So let it do the job. And that would be fatal. Because if we stop at that point, we have not made it conscious how to take in the infinite as a conscious fact. And therefore, ponder this fact, nurture these facts, love these facts, adopt these facts, accept that fact, adore those facts, stand in awe before those facts, love them, cherish them, hope all of them, have all the hope for it, the promise in it, the joy of the promise of what is going on. All that is the female, the woman of it, that is necessary. And without that woman, the male sense will go, will destroy the idea. It will let it destroy itself. Therefore, we have to see that something in addition to the sixth day is necessary. It isn't the creative sense that is necessary, it's the accept sense that it's necessary. So that the first 6 days as an eternal development of the spiritual idea, rising in consciousness, widening consciousness is not enough. It's the seventh day that says, and now I consciously accept that as the only consciousness that is ever going on and on which I always will rely and trust in.